All right, hello, Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. We mock the news so you don't have to. Hello, Jake.
How's it going?
All is well here. That is Jake Vever, stand-up comedian in New York City. I am Nathan Timmel, stand-up comedian in Iowa City. Jake has his wee one, Jake Jr., sleeping in the background, kind of fussing. Might be a pause or a break in this podcast if we have to, so he can do something more important than talk about bullshit. He can go be a dad.
Yeah, remember to use protection, people. That's the message of this podcast. You won't have to do this kind of stuff during podcasts if you just wrap it up.
Yes, yes. All right, let's start tearing through things. First story I sent you, this amused me. Billionaire, former Victoria's Secret CEO pulls funding from Harvard, accusing the school of a dismal failure to take a stand for Israel. And dismal failures in quote. We've been talking about this. Harvard student groups supported Palestine, yada, yada. Now very rich donors are complaining. Harvard alum are complaining. And as the case here, pulling the plug on their funding. And that's fine. To me, the funny thing about this story came all the way at the bottom. In, I think it was the last sentence. I'm scrolling now. And there was, nope, not the last one. There was the second to last sentence paragraph. The mogul stepped down from the leadership role at the retail brands following scrutiny over his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, the disgraced financier who killed himself, we'll put those in air quotes, while facing
I think this fucking guy killed him.
Oh, could have been. But
Epstein was starting to go soft on the Palestinians, and he was like, no way, I'm sending a guy in his cell to strangle him.
Oh, but the thing I love about it, the whole article is how this guy's taking a stand for Israel and Harvard did not, and he's really let down. The very last paragraph, they just sneak it in there. By the way, he had to leave his position as the head of the CEO of everything he marketed because he was buddies with Jeffrey Epstein. Does that make him a teenage girl fucking pedophile? No. Is it really bad? Like, was he probably around some shit? When you're around someone that's a fuck up, you know they're a fuck up. You know, it doesn't take place in a vacuum. Like, oh, Jeff, I visited an island a couple times. I didn't see anything silly. So it's just funny that this whole story was the moral high ground, and then at the very end, it's like, yeah, but oops.
Yeah, it's like the old saying: he who lives in a house made of billionaire pedophiles should not throw stones. Otherwise, it's going to bounce off of a billionaire pedophile, and you're going to look silly.
I have seen several stories like this. This is the only one where Jeffrey Epstein came at the end. So maybe Jeffrey kept his friends close. His future, like, I don't know, his future pedophile friends were there were a few of them.
Ask one of his masseuses. He always comes at the end. What?
All right. That was the one I just wanted to get out of the way.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I didn't send you this story. What is this fucking story? Biden announces release of two American hostages. I didn't send you that.
I got that. I got that one.
Why would I have sent that? There's nothing. All right. What were you going to say?
Those two hostages also were friends with Jeffrey Epstein. It's weird. It's all tied together.
There you go. Well, speaking of pedophiles.
No, that billionaire's, he's so pro-Israel, he helped the Mossad make Epstein's death look like a suicide.
Yeah, I mean, someone had to. Yep. Let's stick with pedophilia. We touched on this story a couple times. I don't think we really went into detail on it. We didn't talk about it much. But a while ago, a member of the U.S. Army military in South Korea, stationed in South Korea, fucking darted across the border to North Korea. We were comparing it a little bit to Bowie Berg. It was Bergdahl, the guy that Afghanistan just went on the walk. Like, uh-huh. I'm just going to go on a walkabout. And so this guy's name is Private Travis King. And we're like, and no one could come up with a reason why he would just cross the border into North Korea. Everybody said that he did it of his own volition. And so we get it back. Army private who fled to North Korea charged with desertion, yes, held by U.S. military, yes, but why is it not in there that he is facing charges including desertion and possessing sexual images of a child? So, did he think North Korea was pro-pedophile? Or, I mean, if there's anything that's going to get you out of a democracy and into North Korea, it's like, okay, Yes, North Korea sucks. Everybody's starving. It is a totalitarian nation. There's nothing good about it. But I am facing child porn charges. So I'm going to head over there and see if they want me as a member of the military. Like, maybe I can get a nice apartment if I give up some secrets that I know as a private. You know, like.
Right. I think he was sitting there thinking, I'll just sort of be like a Dennis Rodman type character.
Yes.
Who just goes over and gets treated nice. That's why I think Rodman set a bad example for people. I hope he comes out with one of those black and white Charles Barkley-esque NBA commercials from the 90s going, I am not a role model. I go and hang out with Kim Jong-il. It's not what you should do, kids. Even if you're caught with, you know, pictures of kids. I am not a role model. Don't do what I did.
I like what you just said there, because the Dennis Rodman, I think that was his plan, is as long as I say death to America, they'll greet me with open arms and I can be a hero and I can escape all the fucking criminal charges I'm facing. And I would love to know why they didn't go for that. What made is pedophilia too much even for North Korea? Like, okay, we love the fact that you are saying bad things about America, but we don't want you fucking our kids too. So you we'll let you go back. Like, is that the line too far for North Korea?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there was, you know, a heavy North Korean nationalist party underneath Kim Jong-il, and their kind of leader was like, listen, the Americans are not sending us their best over that southern border, all right? They're sending us their pedophiles. They're sending us their rapists. Some of the Americans down there, I assume, are good people. But this guy's totally not, especially Private King here. He's no king in real life, man. He's not even a duke. Although, I don't know, he's friends with Epstein. That's kind of king-like.
I lost it. I clicked on it and it went, it said that last year there it is, kicking and punching other officers. Why do they say other officers? A private's not an officer. It should just say kicking and punching officers.
The people that write about the military don't really know what they're
talking about. Yeah, the other officers, that would suggest he's an officer. He's a fucking private. Unlawfully possessing alcohol. Is he under 21? Making false statements, and then the big one, possessing a video of a child. But the idea that that one just keeps slipping in at the end. Like, yeah, he had an officer. That's really bad. He had alcohol. That's really bad. Oh, and he also had child porn. You'd think that would be the headline, front and center. Private King tries to escape accountability for being a pedophile.
I mean, yeah, unless it's one of the things where they're just sort of... he just had a hard drive with a bunch of porn that they all had kind of shared together. And they're like, there was like just one or two where I'm like, where they were like, oh, that she's like 17. Turns out, I don't know, whatever the, I'm guessing if that's not front and center, it's probably one of those, I don't know, dude was just downloading porn off the internet and one came from Bulgaria and they weren't really checking IDs. I don't know, man. This feels like they might have got him on some weird technicality there. That's the only reason I can think of why the pedophilia charges are not at the top. That seems like it's going to be the most, I mean, unless he also had a severed head in a duffel bag. That's going to be the most serious charge. So I unless it's some weird thing like that, like somehow he didn't know it was on there and had, reasonable doubt that he knew this was on his hard drive. That's the only way I can think that they're just throwing this in all fucking willy-nilly at the end.
Well, I have two things. One, further down, it says he's 23. So, again, I don't know where this unlawful possession of alcohol...
No, he probably... in. Because it's probably close enough to the North Korean border, they don't let you have alcohol on base. You know what I mean? Because they didn't let us have alcohol in Afghanistan.
I was just going to say, I know when I visited Iraq and Afghanistan, they said no alcohol because it's against... Which I always thought was funny. I get the no alcohol in a war zone, no alcohol that close to North Korea. You got to keep your wits about you. But everything... I have been told my entire life, and you set me straight on this because you are our former military, was that when you are on an American military base, that is considered American soil. Like you are that little
base.
Yeah,
but it's different in a war zone. They don't want you to be fucking drunk with loaded weapons.
No, I know. It's just that they say that we did it out of respect for the religion. It's like, but on this base, it's supposed to be, I get that you don't want it. So just say that. Say, look, no alcohol because you're in a fucking war zone. You got to keep your wits about you.
Yeah, that was their way of sort of pandering. I don't know. Yeah. But it's sort of a weird thing, but it's like, yeah, but I can get like bacon in the chow hall and the women aren't dressed like they're in fucking Star Wars, right? So yeah, we don't really care. I mean,
the second thought I had, so it's a good point. It's a hypocrisy. It's you pander a little bit, you push a little bit.
They're saying that's the reason, but I mean, the real reason, let's face it, it's that you're in a war zone and you constantly have loaded weapons around you. And you don't want people to be drunk around loaded weapons. As much as I'm pro drinking, they kind of got a point there.
Yes. Okay, here's the other part. This happened, was it last year? Say it happened last year, even if it was this year. Let's put it in 2022 or 2023, one of the two. Who is downloading shit to their computer in 2022 or 2023? In any first world country where you have streaming, why would he be downloading any? You dial it up, it's right there on Pornhub, on RedTube, and then you turn your computer off. You do not need to. So I don't know how you accidentally download anything because you don't need to download. You haven't for a decade. Well, you have not needed to download anything to your goddamn computer. It streams. You watch it. You close it. You watch it on incognito.
We didn't have the same kind of
internet. So it doesn't show up in your history.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. We didn't really have the same kind of internet access in Iraq and Afghanistan. So
you didn't there.
But I mean, this guy could be close enough to North Korea. It said unlawful possession of alcohol. So I'm guessing it's fairly similar in many ways.
He was on the border because he just ran across it. He was stationed at that. It's not like he was, you know, down
well,
at the,
right,
the bottom
but if
end.
If he's close to the border, they probably don't want you in case shit cooks off. They don't really want you to be able to get on the internet and be like, hey, this is what's going on, or, you know, contact the families of people that got killed before.
Oh, so you can't even fuck around on Facebook? Like you're like a fucking Amish on the border then?
You kind of. I mean, if it's like it was in Afghanistan, well, they have.
I know
like
when internet. I visited Afghanistan and Iraq as a civilian, whatever base I would go, even some fobs in the middle of nowhere, they had like one computer where guys could get on Facebook and just chat with family.
Right, yeah, and you just kind of log in like an internet library thing. Yeah, that's so they can cut that down in case...
So not everybody's on their phone. It's one computer,
right, in
one
case
guy at a time.
Really classified information, classified events take place in case someone's killed. They don't want you getting on Facebook and being like, RIP, on the guy's wall, and the guy's wife's like, huh? And, you know, before they send the guy in the class A's to hand her the flag and, you know, hey, he was died bravely making seven guys in Texas rich or, you know, whatever, however the speech goes. I would imagine that close to the border where anything could theoretically cook off at any time, they probably don't have normal internet access.
Well, I'm looking further down. They always put all this shit at the bottom. Like they don't need... So, according to it, he solicited a user of Snapchat to produce images of underage sexual activity. So, he actively was asking, like, hey, send me shit.
Oh, okay. So, this was somebody on Snapchat.
Yeah. And Sean Timmons, an attorney who specializes in military law, reviewed the charging documents, said all the transactions that occurred on Snapchat were not secure or private and were accessible by the government. So, he reasonably believed his illegal conduct would have no evidentiary trail, but he was soliciting it. He was on Snapchat. Hey, baby, why don't you send me some?
Oh,
news?
So yeah,
who does that in 2023? How many people have been busted? I mean, going back to Chris Hansen, hey, why would you ever, you know, like 2023? Oh, this has nothing to do with anything.
I mean, no American who's ever crossed the border in an army uniform to go get a timeshare in North Korea has ever been accused of being too smart for their own good. Nothing this guy is, you're not going to find one brilliant thing this guy has done if he's defecting to North Korea.
I have two thoughts. One, I read a story recently that said that of all things, millennials fall for more internet scams than boomers, We make fun of, oh, boomers getting tricked online, falling for fraud and scams. But millennials, because they grew up with the internet, they just like, oh, yeah, you can have my credit card number. So maybe he's just so used to his entire life, like sending, sure, texting nudes. He's just like, hey, give me nudes. And then the second thought I started to say a second ago, when it comes to dick pics, I have to admit, I'm kind of disappointed in this. I had to, I personally, Nathan, I got a DM. Boy George from Culture Club, the official, I checked his, slid into my DMs. He didn't like a joke I made online and he sort of complained to me privately. So I wrote back to him and I'm like, write back to me again. And that just ended there. But like I said, hey, Boy George wrote me a message and everybody started asking like, ooh, did he ask for dick pics? I'm like, no, he didn't ask for my dick pic. He didn't give me one from him, but that's right. He reminded me of that story. He didn't like a joke I told.
Well, dude, I mean, you know, certain topics, especially jokes about guys chained naked to radiators for days on end. I mean, you know, like it's all fun and games to us. We've never been charged for that. So
that's an R. Kelly. He would have complained.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
No, Boy George had that happen too.
This one, let's get away from serious stuff. I thought this was just funny. I sent you this because last week you talked, or maybe 2 weeks ago, you talked about Chet Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks. And that reminded me, Michael Irvin, football legend, calls out his son's rap career. Quote, you grew up in a gated community your whole life. Apparently, the kid is Tut Tarantino, is his rap name, and he's a gangster rapper. And his dad is like, the fuck are you talking about? You had everything. Dude. You grew up, it's... Maybe I think Tut Tarantino and Chet Hanks should put out like a Frank Sinatra duets record, like he did with Bono, or who else did that? Nat King Cole's daughter. Remember when she put out a duets album? I think that Chet Hanks and Tut Tarantino should put out a duet album. Two rich, privileged kids singing about the street,
straight out of Orange County or something like that. Yeah. It'd be a fun one. I don't know, man. It's the thing is you can get away with it so much more if you're not as lily white as Chet Hanks talking like you're Jamaican. It's kind of like it's a much tougher sell than it obviously will be for Michael Irvin's kid. It's just weird that Michael Irvin is really going at his son like that. Like, I don't know.
I don't think it's weird at all. I think it's hilarious because he's not calling. He's just literally saying, be a man, sing about what you know. He's not saying don't get into music. He's just saying, knock it off with the thug life you never lived.
God damn it. I think I missed this article.
There's not a lot to it. It's just, there's not much beyond the headline. After the headline, they read the quote again, and he's laughing. But they do have a video from Tut Tarantino, and he's in a drug room with a fucking AK, and he's all chained up. Like, he is singing, like, yeah, I cook the whatever, kitchen. He's in a kitchen.
Oh, shit, I found it. Yeah, let me do a little Tut Tarantino reaction video. Oh, yeah, Christ, man, he's really going in hard.
He's playing it up. So, but if you look at the clip of Michael Irvin, he's laughing. He's just like, what the fuck? Come on, you, this is not you. But there's no better quote than that opening quote. You grew up in a gated community. You are not thug life forever.
Yeah, okay, at first, when you explained this to me, I kind of thought that Michael Irvin was being a dick, but he's like, rapping with an AR-15 next to a big, like, mountain of weed. Like, he's this, like, drug dealer guy. Yeah, that would annoy me if I was Michael Irvin. If I was a football legend and I gave my kid all, you know, like, an awesome life in a mansion, and then he put out a video of him, you know, with small arms next to mountains of drugs going, look what I got to do for money. It's like, nah, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to join the Crips for fucking loot. I gave you it. I gave you money. Stop it.
You had an allowance.
Yeah. And then like, dude, I hope he goes fucking crazy in this drunk. I do it because my father wasn't there. What? I do it because my dad didn't care. It's like, wait, dude. I gave you everything.
I wasn't there on Sunday, but I was home after work every day of the week, and then on Sundays I would travel. I was
literally only not there during football season on road games. That was it. That's the only time I wasn't there. The rest of the time, I was there showering you with money. How dare you?
Those 8 away games, they traumatized Tut Tarantino and made him turn to a life of guns and drugs, apparently. Maybe we shouldn't be mocking. Maybe those 8 away games every year turned Tut Tarantino into the man he is today, a violent sociopath, gun-toting drug dealer.
I hope Chet Hanks was a bad influence on him. You know, I would be just.
You see what I'm saying, though? He and Chet Hanks should make a duets album. They should sing about the thug street life they grew up on, and it would just be it would be funnier than anything Weird Al Yankovic ever did, because it would be like a bigger parody, but it could be original parody.
Fuck it, dude. I think Chet Hanks should lean in, but just do other things. You know what I mean? Like him reading Green Exit Ham. You know, just children. Me name a Chet Hanks. Me grow up in the rough lands of Beverly Hills. Me gonna read you Cotton to Hot. Look at this boy's butty by hot. Iron eye hot. Bumbaclot Cotton Hot.
And then Tut can come in with the angry version. Yo, motherfucker, green eggs and ham.
Yeah. You know? Uh-huh. He does angry Dr. Seuss rhymes.
Yes. All right, back to something serious, but we don't take anything seriously. I have to admit, this one is interesting to me. Sidney Powell has pled guilty to voter interference, election fraud. What is it?
Ouch. A bunch of shit, dude. Did you see the video?
No.
Oh, there's a video of her pleading guilty in court. It's fucking rough.
How is it rough? Explain, because I just read the story. What is she? Is she?
They just rattle off all the charges and guilty, guilty, and then her lawyer comes up and they tacked on a 6th one here. I forgot to mention they're gonna, and she's like, yeah, you're guilty, guilty, like that. It's like a minute and a half of her pleading guilty. It's fucking brutal.
I mean, so we're just speculating. What do you think happened? Do you think they cut her a deal, or they said, oh, yeah, hey, we will cut you a deal? Or do you think she had a, because she was literally, not figuratively, she came off as batshit insane. All the bullshit she spewed. Do you think she had someone sat her down and said, you are absolutely guilty. You are not getting out of this. You have to plead and try and get a deal. What made her turn? Was it a moment? Was it the Pulp Fiction alcoholic's moment of clarity? What? Because I did not expect it from her. I mean, she was batshit insane. There are some people that I figure were smart enough to like, oh, okay, well, I got caught. She was not one of them.
No, I think a lot will happen if you threaten someone with enough jail time. You'll get them to turn on pretty much anybody for the most part, unless they're like an ice cold cartel guy who's like, well, you know, whatever, I'll just, you know, I'll be in the gangs in prison too, so I guess, yeah, I'm just in the gang in there. I mean anybody else, especially if they're used to living that. I mean, I don't really know what her career was before this, but I'm guessing if she's anywhere that near to the president, she's got more or less a kind of cushy rich lifestyle, and you know, maybe not like extravagantly wealthy, but like,
yeah,
certainly well off. You take somebody like that and threaten them with serious prison time, and you'll get them to fucking turn.
And the prosecutors here, instead of going to trial on 7 felonies, Powell pled guilty as part of the deal. So she was offered a deal. Prosecutors recommended a probation only sentence. So if you are going from, you know, 10 years in prison to probation, that is a pretty fucking sweet turn of events.
Yeah, you're not going 7 years to probation unless you either A, blew everyone in the DA's office, and even then you'd still probably do a couple years, or B, you totally fucking rolled on somebody, and I think she ends up testifying against
Trump. Well, it says part of the deal, it makes clear she is expected to testify about her direct involvement in the breach of a system in election systems. So, but, and she's the second. There have been 2 that have pled guilty that have turned. I thought they had the other one in here somewhere, but so how many do they get to turn? And this is something you and I have talked about multiple times. Does it make a difference when it comes to Trump? Because this has happened before. They got Cohen, his lawyer, and the instant anyone turns against Trump, all the Trump loyalists say, well, it's like Scientology. You're an oppressive person. You're out of the Trump cult, so you can no longer be trusted. We never liked him. And they believe it. They're like, oh, we love Michael Cohen. He's the best lawyer. He's so loyal. Oh, he turned. Fuck him. He never existed. He was always a piece of shit. Like, they can literally flip that fast without any sense of memory of what they said the day before. How many people do they need to flip in order to have it make a goddamn difference against in the trial against Trump?
Well, I think this will start to make a difference for this one, because now he's being charged with like way more serious shit, as opposed to, oh, this guy paid off a porn star, this guy double parked, this guy whatever. Now it really is the, oh, this guy tried to overturn a legal election. He tried to overthrow the government. You know what I mean? And so yeah. I think, you know, you're gonna see people start flipping more now, because what tends to happen when somebody flips like this, now other people who because they indicted a bunch of people,
yeah,
and their lawyers are going to be pressuring them like, hey man, you don't want to be the last guy to flip, because yeah, the last guy to flip, they already got everything they need to know. They don't need the worst deal. Yes, you will get 20 minutes off your sentence.
And the lawyers have to be telling their clients, you know you're guilty. You know that it was a free and fair election. You know that everything was bullshit and a lie, because every time you went to court, every time Giuliani would go to court, he'd stand in front of the cameras on the steps. It was election fraud. The fucking liberals did this. And then he would go into court and court would say, where's your evidence? And he'd say, well, we don't have any evidence. Like, they know.
They'd ask him for evidence, and his fucking hair dye would just start running down the side. Oh, shit. Evidence. Oh, my God.
It'll be interesting. How does this impact the special counsel's case against Trump? It's just all bullshit. So, all right.
If you're threatening someone with enough prison time, forget about knowing or not knowing what you're saying is real. Even if your lawyer is sitting there going, dude, you're going to get all this prison time. And they're sitting there going, no, you don't understand. The election was stolen. They faked tens of thousands of ballots in four states. It's like, okay, well, whatever. Like, the evil deep state that did that is going to lock you, the brave patriot, in the cell, unjustifiably. But either way, whether this conspiracy is true or not,
you're still going down for it. It's still going to happen. Jake froze, so I jumped in.
Or it's real, and the same monsters in the deep state, yeah, they're throwing you in there. So however you believe it truly to be, you will go to prison if you do not testify and give them something.
Yes. All right. I found this.
Like, even in the Joseph Stalin show trials, people still did go to prison in those. You know what I mean? Like, they still, after the fake trial, the prison sentence was still very much real. So even if you truly believe this to be a Joseph Stalin-esque show trial, you got to be getting a little scared. Prison time is real.
Show trial, real jail.
Yep. Uh-huh.
All right, I found a bunch of different stories. I couldn't find any big ones because the liberal media doesn't like to cover stuff like this, but thank you to the New York Post for being the most credible. I could find a bunch, but the New York Post, Victoria's Secret ditches prioritizing wokeness over sexiness after sales drop. For a handful of years now, it's been, we got to get rid of the angels, we got to make a plus size Victoria's Secret, and nope, didn't work. Turns out being sexy is just fine. People want to feel pretty. I'm all for it. I have to admit, as a heterosexual misogynistic male, I'm just getting it out there because no matter what I say, it's what I'm going to get called, even though it's not true. I would walk through the mall. I would look at Victoria's Secret and go, ooh. Like, you see some of the models and it's like, I'm sorry. Everybody has a right to be attracted to whatever they're attracted to, but there is an overall sort of beauty standard that everyone looks at and goes, yeah, I get it. She's hot. Even if you don't like it, even if you think it's unfair, your eyeballs still say, okay, I get it. She's attractive. She's out of my league. And that's what sells, is you make us feel insecure and bad about ourselves, and it sells.
No, I disagree with all this right-wing horse shit you're saying. I like I like the out of shape Victoria's Secret models. All right. I want to walk past there and I want to look in there and see naked, chubby ones and naked, ugly ones, naked ones missing limbs, making naked ones with extra limbs. I want to see a lady in lingerie that has that weird little head mutant from Total Recall coming out of the stomach going, Quato. Quaid. Yes, yes. I want a Victoria's Secret with the Quato, a little mutated head that pops out and gives psychic predictions about Mars. That's the Victoria's Secret I want to walk by because it represents
then
a better world.
Challenge you. How much Victoria's Secret have you purchased in the last 5 years? Where were you when they needed to be kept afloat, Jake? Show me all the Victoria's Secret receipts in your pocket in your house right now.
All right, I got to admit, I spent all of that money on pay sites with weird women that do have the mutated head coming out of the tummy. You know, there's not a lot of guys that sign up for her OnlyFans, but those of us that do pay for the premium content. So I spent that money there instead of on the underwear. Fair enough, man. This
you cut out the middleman and you went straight to the source.
I mean, hey, it's not the garter belts that's getting me going here. It's the Quato coming out just above the lady's navel.
Well, that's the beauty of this podcast. We can agree to disagree. We each have our opinion, and that's America. God damn it, we're each allowed our opinion.
That's right.
Boner.
That's right.
All right.
More models with more Quato. Anyway, real quick on this one. I think this article, admittedly, like I kind of skimmed it. I think they're a little bit full of shit.
Oh, they always are. It's the New York Post. I said that every article I found was kind of shitty. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Corporations change fucking tactics all the goddamn time. I doubt that Victoria's Secret literally put out a memo that said, hey, this woke shit isn't working. Fuck lesbians. Fuck fat women. We're going back to angels. They probably are making a slight shift. And this article is fucking blowing it out of proportion and screaming, go woke, go broke. Yeah, it's all bullshit.
Here's what they're leaving out, this article. You know what's been taking down a lot of brick and mortar stores? In fact, most of them in the mall? Fucking Amazon. Like, how are they not even mentioning that shit?
Internet, yes.
Yes. Yeah, people know their sizes. Women that buy underwear know their fucking sizes. Do they want to drive all the way to the mall, pay for parking, go in, and forget about the size of the mannequins? They don't need the mannequins for the most part. For most underwear purchases, yeah. You don't need the goddamn mannequins. You can have the mannequins digitally online. They know their sizes. Most of the places, hell, Amazon, they'll let you send underwear back. They don't give a fuck. Like, it's crazy.
It doesn't even have to be Amazon. Jake, I'm going to blow your mind right here. Ready? My wife buys her bras online, not on Amazon, but she just buys them from stores. All right, we got 2 minutes.
Is it because the wokeness drove her away from the brick and mortar?
Yes, it is.
Is that what did it?
She would walk through a mall and she would feel that as a white woman, she was being victimized by women of color.
That's right. Now, she would be like, I'm going to go buy a bra, Lizzo, and then she would Zeke Heil and goose step away from there to go buy it online. And wokeness.
That's why I married her.
Sale.
Yes. All right, we got a minute and 30 seconds, roughly. Jordan Vandersloot has finally admitted he killed Natalie Holloway, something we knew forever. Here's the part that pisses me off. He cannot be prosecuted in Aruba because the statute of limitations is 12 years. Why is there a statute of limitations on murder? That makes no sense. Like, petty crimes, I get it. Theft, you stole a Snickers bar when you were 15. Yeah, we can't prosecute that when you're 25. It was a Snickers bar. Murder, you can kind of fucking prosecute that for the rest of their life. I have a buddy that was a detective. He retired. It's called cold cases in America. They would go back and try and find someone. It doesn't matter when they fucking killed the person. If you murdered them, Aruba, you talk about woke and liberals running everything. You can commit murder. If you get away with it after 12 years, you're scot-free.
Hashtag not all murderers.
I like something that. Like that.
Yeah. No, here's what I think it is. I think if I had to guess, and I could be dead wrong on this, I have no idea. I don't think that there's a strong murderer lobbyist in their government. It's hard for me to imagine that there's a lot of pro murder politicians. I mean? Going, dude, most of our constituents in my district are murderers. I can't.
Although in America, we do have the ones that are pro child brides. They shoot down the 18 and up marriage brides, but keep going.
Well, I think it's more or less, I don't know a ton about their government. I don't want to sit there and
30
say
seconds,
that it's
go quick.
Kind of banana republic, but I think there was probably a guy who was very high up in office and he was like, I killed that guy 13 years ago. Time to pass a law. You know, I think that happened at one point and he
one
just
guy.
Fucking, yeah, yeah. One guy was like, how would you like to be Secretary of State? Sign the bill. Put it in earmark. This is a bill about building bridges, but also if the murder was 12 years ago, it doesn't count.
Well, that cunt Vandersloot got away with it because of that fuck in office years ago. All right, find Jake online at Jake Vevra on all the socials. Find me at NathanTimmel.com. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Chicago's Comedy Scene Radio Network.
Later.